Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh my God.
That was jarring.
I'm at a bit of a loss here. Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. We're halfway home on a Tuesday. And really enjoyed that interview with Jeff Francoeur. Till it was over. I'm Woodsy. To my right is Patrick Daly. He won the chance to co-host today at the Ben and Woods Open. Patrick, you got to see all of that in the flesh. I will get your reaction in a moment, but that was you weren't expecting that this morning.
That was jarring.
It was jarring. Yes.
All right. It was just like, what just happened?
What just happened? Paul Reindel is the executive producer of the program. Paulie.
That was
something.
I mean,
to my left is.
I want to say it was like to be expected. It was classic. Him,
yeah,
but this was like to the next level.
This was to the
like
end.
He runs on a scale of 1 to 10. He runs on an 11.
Yeah,
this was like a 16.
Yeah, he was hot. And then to my left is Ben Higgins. Even Ben was like, "Huh, that was a little bit odd."
Yeah. So you're talking about Adam.
Yeah, clearly our boss,
who is in our chat right now, saying, "I'm about to get killed."
Yes.
And I guess his point and his very urgent point that he had to make is that
out of breath. He sounded like, what did he sound like? He sprinted
like
back.
We're on the sixth
the elevator
floor of the building
was broken,
and he ran.
He had
up
to
the
run
stairs.
Up the stairs to make sure we got this news right away.
Yeah, this was gnarly.
Does anyone feel like they missed out on something during our Jeff Francoeur interview? Like badly?
I did not. I thought it was perfectly done, perfectly executed on Jeff's part, on our part. But Adam came in and was puffing and puffing. Hey, what the hell, guys? What? I just was
everything okay?
Yeah, what's happening?
What happened?
You guys missed the best part. What? The punchline of the story. I go,
he told us.
He said it, right?
No! You missed it.
And I said, what are you talking? And I'll say this, like, it didn't feel super lighthearted, right? Like,
No, it didn't.
It was like mad almost.
It was like we like totally
like
blew
we just
it. We had
screwed
it set
up on
yeah,
it.
We screwed it up.
We had the layup to win the NBA championship. We were, yeah, we were right there and we biffed it.
Yes.
Like, right at the end.
You nailed it. The punchline is the story
itself.
That's the funny part.
Did anyone not get that at the end of the 16 days in which Jorge Reyes is pretending to be deaf just for Jeff Francoeur and everybody on the El Paso Chihuahuas is in on it, that at the end of the 16 days, what they did was they told Jeff that he's not deaf. Jorge told him.
Correct.
That he's not deaf.
But the story itself is the gold. The payoff of, well, we went and got it. This.
Hello, my name is Jorge Reyes, and I'm not deaf.
And everyone laughs. Yes, it was funny.
The story is the the story is the funny part.
I agree. Man.
Dedication. You love being dedicated to a bit, and that was...
Oh, it was great. That's
that
the
was
funny
dedication.
Part, 16 days.
16 days of dedication.
Of dedication.
To make it work.
Adam says he walks up the flights of stairs every morning.
I do that sometimes, just to try to get, like, if it's one of those days where I'm like, yeah, you're not going to the gym, I'll do the stairs and I feel a little bit better about myself. It's a lot of stairs.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. But he said he ran up to come in and yell at us because we didn't deliver that story properly. I thought it was great. Like, it didn't even occur to me, like, oh, I think Franchi left out a big part of that story. Like, that isn't the punchline implied?
I thought so too.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, you know, they made him reveal his wife was like, Jorge's wife was like, Jeff's too nice.
Jeff's too nice.
You have to tell him.
Right.
So they told him.
So obviously,
Jorge told him.
Get Jeff back on the phone to tell the punchline.
Yeah, just call him back, Paulie. Get him back on the horn.
Hey, I'm really sorry to bother you.
This reminds me of a time on my first show. And, you know, I had about a year in. And I'm trying hard. And everything I did was wrong. Every time I delivered sports, it was wrong. Right? And it was not enough of this, too much of this. So every day I would come in sick. Riddled with anxiety. Never had a panic attack in my life till I started doing radio. And I was sick to my stomach. And there was something that happened. I can't remember what it was, but it got a big laugh. And the mics go off. My host looks at me and goes, "You failed comedy school." And I sat there and I go, "Well, number one."
So, sports.
So, so I didn't go to comedy school. You know, I wasn't in the Second City troupe or anything, or the Groundlings or whatever. I didn't go to comedy school. I have literally been pulling this out of my rear end for 15 years. So I had that same vibe just now of like that. I'm questioning, do I know what I'm doing again? And it's not a good feeling to be insecure about, you know, your craft and your profession. I thought that went really well.
It was a great interview. There's no doubt about it.
I'm firmly committed.
I oftentimes will take Adam's side, but on this one, I thought it played out just fine.
As someone on the outside,
yeah, outside
just a listener, I thought that was really good interview. Yeah. He's a great storyteller. Yeah. Bang, bang, bang. Perfect ending.
Like, perfect.
It was perfect.
Well, back to the drawing board for me, I guess. If anybody has any improv classes or anything where I can, you know, get better at my job, I guess I'm down to listen. Thought I had it clocked, but apparently I don't.
Ben and Woods taking comedy classes might be comedy in and of itself.
Oh, it would be great. It'd be great. I mean, he was like out of breath. I can't believe you did this. I can't believe this. He said, "I just wanted to hear his reaction when he found out the guy wasn't deaf and how the news was broken." All right.
They all laughed.
Thought it was really funny.
It was funny.
Sometimes, like I said, sometimes the story is the joke. The whole long thing, but I don't know. Well, I'm gone, so
we
good
digress.
Luck, guys. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to let you guys down.
How about them Padres?
How about them Padres? About them Padres.
Paulie had an uncomfortable moment.
Big series.
Oh, my God.
Just a few minutes ago.
I don't agree with you on this, by the way.
I
don't agree with either of you.
100%.
It was my nightmare. It was even happening to me. During the commercial break, went to the Odyssey restroom here on our sixth floor, and I walked up to the urinal.
You are going one.
Yes, I was going number one.
Number one.
And there were two gentlemen in the stalls, in two of the stalls, and they were going, well...
Number two.
Number two.
Happens.
And they were having a full-on conversation with each other.
Not a damn thing wrong with that.
And I thought, I'm uncomfortable just standing here. I would be mortified if I was in one of those stalls and somebody was sitting there talking to me. I think that is the most uncomfortable situation, like one of the most uncomfortable situations could possibly be in. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't care if you're a family member, my best friend, or a complete stranger.
No, what do you do, Woods, when you are in a stall,
mm-hmm,
and then someone walks into a stall next to you? Do you instigate conversation? Do you wait for them to make the first move? And
it's usually, I mean, you're so early. It's usually one of two
here,
people.
Yes.
It's me or John. It's me and John from KSON. And so I will say, "Johnny," because he doesn't like it either, and I know that. So I'm like, "Hey, how you doing?" He's like, "I just really want to do my business." I'm like, "How's everything? Good. Show's going good. Good, good. How's the new Morgan Wallen? Great, great, great. Jelly Roll, is he still?" I'll mess with him the whole time. I don't mind. I like to have a full combo. I like to have a full combo, and it does not bother me in the slightest to have a full conversation in there.
There's only one thing more uncomfortable from, you know, a stall to stall.
Yeah.
Urinal
to urinal is worse. At least you have a door, like a partition between.
Like AJ Preller at Petco Park on opening day when I talked to him while we were both standing next to each other.
Did I know this story?
Yeah, you remember this.
I don't remember this at all.
Probably one of those great stories he forgot to tell us.
No, they were talking about it in the chat. And so we've definitely talked about it on the air.
What was discussed?
I mean, I just felt like I had to say, you know, good luck this season, you know, just say something. He's standing right next to me. There's a partition. It's fine.
There is.
I mean, I don't, but stall to stall to me is not acceptable.
Way easier than urinal to your, hey, how's it going, bud? Good.
Yeah, just talking to another guy with your your junk in your,
that's
you
right.
know, in your hand is
that's
just
right.
weird.
It is weird. Hey, how's everything? Family good? Good.
Honestly,
good.
If I go into a bathroom that has two or three stalls and someone's already in one of them, I just wait.
You leave.
I would, I'm with Ben 100%. I'll find another bathroom.
Yeah.
Quacked on Padre says you could join UCB for like $5,000 and maybe get up to a level two in comedy. All right. Well, $5,000, babe. I'm going to have to.
It's an investment in our future, Woods. Comedy school.
Just, you know, your confidence just gets shattered, you know, and you just think like, man, I clearly do not understand.
Shockwave said he had Tommy Lasorda next to him in the bathroom. Wow.
Whoa. In the stall or at the urinal?
It sounds like stall.
You know Tommy Lasorda took 49 minutes in the stall. You know he did.
You know, there are some funny noises coming out of that stall.
There is no question.
A lot of grunting.
That's not, out of the list of people I would not want to crap next to, he's up there. He's in the top 10, I would say.
Just picturing it in my mind.
I can't get it out. I can't. Bavakwa. I can't get it out of my head. So, well, thanks, Adam. I'll be spun out for the rest of the day, if not week. And just questioning everything now.
So, I've seen some talk in the chat. I know, Woods, you are not looking forward to the 7:10 start time tonight. Feels like it's very late. But, of course, there are Padres fans who are on the East Coast, including Ryan Cohen and others, who have to wait until 10:10 tonight for the game to even start. To even start. If you are interested in this series and you live in the Eastern time zone.
Look, there's no denying there is an East Coast bias.
That's why.
You kind of get it.
That's why.
You kind of understand.
How can you possibly even be mad if people, especially if they work like morning talk shows or whatever, and they're like, I didn't get to watch much of the Padres-Dodgers game. It was 10 o'clock when it started.
It's maybe why they film all of those national shows. Well, no, Cowherd's West Coast. He's got no excuse. Stephen A. Smith, he's way out on the East Coast.
Mad Dog.
And when they start talking Padres baseball, you're like, no, man, you haven't watched a second. Maybe now I have a little bit more understanding why they don't. Because, hey, by the way, I'm not staying up till 10:10 to watch a game. I mean, we did it once.
That's to watch just the first pitch. To stay the end of the game. You're talking 1 a.m.
Remember the Korea series was like, it almost killed us the first week of the season. We were like, this is the worst. But, I mean, look, it's a huge series. So, like, Ryan ain't going to bed till 2 in the morning. And you know how Ryan gets. Ryan Cohen in New York, he works for John Boy. Like, I'm sure they got to be there at a reasonable time. But I also, like, I know that dude, if they win the game tonight, he's not sleeping. He's just going to, he'll pull it all. Yeah, he'll be wound up. And so, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. And it's funny. It's 30 minutes later than our game start. It feels like an eternity.
And normally, you at the most, you do it 2 days in a row, and then the third day of the series is usually getaway day. It's an early start. Not this one.
Not in L.A.
7:10, and wait for it, 7:10.
Well, this
all
is
three games.
This is why Death Wish Coffee was invented. So, man, that was it's going to be an interesting one to be sure. But well, I do apologize to our listening audience. Apologize to Adam. I will do better. We will do better. And
Somebody mentioned they were sitting next to Tommy Lasorda in the stall. I think Vincent in our chat might win. He says, I had Shaq in a stall next to me in Vegas.
Oh, my.
His shoes were partially in my stall.
His head is actually over the top. Like, just shrinking down.
What's up? How's it going?
That's an interesting topic. Who's the most famous person you've urinated or gone number two next to? So we'll take your calls next here. Actually, we got Jesse Agler coming up.
If you can top Shaq or Tommy Lasorda,
please let us know.
Give us a call.
Who's the most famous person you've seen in a bathroom?
Don Orsillo.
Joe Davis doing his eyebrows. I told you. I'll never forget it. He looked like a little devil.
We also have some more tickets to the La Mesa Oktoberfest to give away. And then Jesse Agler coming up. So stay tuned. It's all coming up. Quick traffic.
Gene Wilder. Somebody
more.
Had Gene Wilder in the bath. I'm going to want to just give him a big
Willy
hug.
Wonka himself?
Oh, he's coming. Here comes Klug again.
All right.
Hey, hold on real quick. Just
all
keep
right.
it.
All right.
What did I do wrong now? come on in. Did I do something wrong?
No, he's not coming in. He's refusing.
He's mortified. Right,
we'll be back after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Who does number two work for?
That's right, buddy. You show that turd who's boss.
Yeah, that's me. I'm Tom Arnold in that scenario.
A lot of people in our chat sharing their famous restroom
encounters.
Charles Barkley.
Suge Knight. Oh, my God.
The entire cast of Game of Thrones. Well, the male cast, at least.
Yes, yeah, not the entire
cast. Not the entire cast, just the male cast. It was a men's room, apparently.
Interesting. Let's ask Jesse Adler.
Gavin Rossdale. Peyton Manning. You people have gotten out in some restrooms with some famous people out there.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, man. What about you? You make the scene quite a bit. Anybody famous?
You know, I mean, other than A.J. Preller, I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Patrick?
I can't think of anybody. I'm, like, racking my brain since they said it, but I don't think I've had anybody in the bathroom.
Any encounters?
Yeah.
I mean, mine's about, I've peed next to Jesse Agler, next to Don Orsillo, next to Mud Grant, and a fantasy camp, you know, You're around these guys a lot. You see that. But, you know, I think nobody's super duper famous that I can recall. I did walk in on a woman that had her top off in the bathroom. Remember that? That happened a few months ago. Just opened the bathroom and she had her tube top.
Like, she was in the men's room.
She was in the men's room. Yeah. Correct. Sitting on the and I went, oh, sorry about that. And it was full frontal shot, which was a really good restaurant. It was nice. It was a great meal and great entertainment. That was a real fun one for me. That's probably my favorite bathroom experience.
Jocelyn has a bathroom selfie with Kelsey Plum.
That's amazing.
WNBA star.
That is amazing.
No, you don't ask for someone for a selfie in the bathroom, right?
After everyone's finished.
Party foul.
After everyone's done, maybe, hey, you mind getting a quick pic?
I mean, this is never everyone's done. There's a constant rotation of people.
Well, if you both finish at the same time.
I guess you and her, but there's still other potentially people. I guess if you're the only two people in the bathroom,
yeah,
and you're both done. I still would wait until, hey, when we get out, you mind?
Yeah, let's get out of the
bathroom.
Let's get out of the bathroom.
Doing it in the bathroom is awkward, for sure.
Let's get out of the bathroom first, and then as soon as we step out, then we can do it.
My colleague Steve Smith at Channel 10, he's been in the restroom with Woody Harrelson and Adam Sandler.
Oh, that's so huge.
Yeah.
Now, he probably didn't. I wonder, do you say anything to them? Hey, how you doing, Woody?
Don't know.
Who's nicer of the two?
I would be very silent.
Adam Sandler's nicer, for sure. Right? I would think so.
I've heard Adam Sandler is like legendarily.
You got one. All right, Patrick Daly, co-host for a day.
Trevor Hoffman.
Oh, yes.
He's the best. I mean, it was game, home plate club.
Yep.
We were down there in the bathroom, and he comes in. It's a long line, and he's starting, all right, your turn. You do this, and you can tell.
He's directing traffic.
Let's go.
Oh, Trev.
Let's go. Like your shoes, you know.
Everyone's just in awe.
He was in prime form.
That's Hall of Fame.
Bushley Blake at the winter meetings ran into Jeff Passan in the restroom, said, oh, bleep, you're Jeff Passan. He goes, hello.
Super good.
We got an Ariana Grande, Jack Nicholson at the Lakers game.
Oh, wow.
That's a good
one.
Didn't wash his hands.
Scare me.
Did not wash his hands.
He's Jack Nicholson. He doesn't have to.
Whatever he wants to do.
Oh.
So, sports.
I'm waiting for you guys.
Oh, by the way, Phillies clinched the NL East.
They did.
Yesterday. And you know what surprised me?
Me too.
First time since 2011.
Dude, they said that on the broadcast. By the way, John Kruk. Watching the game when John Kruk's calling it is like watching it with the world's biggest fan. I mean, it is so... I will say, and I love Kruk. I love him. I think it would bug me after a while. Like, if you were a Phillies fan and that was your home broadcast and you're watching it, I mean, he gets really, really worked up about it. But it's John Kruk. He can kind of do what he wants. But, yeah, they clinch in. That surprised me, too, Benny.
Yeah, they were a wild card when they beat the Padres in the NLCS and lost to the Diamondbacks in the NLCS last year. Didn't win the division. And those were the only two times they've been to the playoffs since 2011, the last time that they won the NL East. So they raised the divisional banner. They move a half a game behind the Dodgers for the number one seed. But if you were listening earlier, Jeff Francoeur said the Phillies and the Dodgers might not want the number one seed because the number one seed then has to play the winner of the 4-5 matchup, which likely includes the Padres. And you'd rather maybe face the winner of, could be like Brewers Diamondbacks if you're the two seed, and that could be a more advantageous. You wouldn't have home field advantage in the NLCS, but you might have an easier path to get to the NLCS. So kind of some next level thinking from our guest Jeff Francoeur, who says the race to the top might actually be the race to the number two seed between, well, the Phillies and either the Dodgers or potentially the Padres, if the Padres can pull it off this week and sweep the Dodgers and have a chance to win that division.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it sounds good to say and everything, but you see a team just kind of throwing in the towel to try to drop a seed in baseball.
You don't necessarily, but you definitely can rest starters.
You can definitely rest starters.
Use the back end of your bullpen heavily and give some guys days off that, you know, if you're playing, you know, meaningful games against other teams, you're going to probably lose those ones.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's baseball. You might pick up a win here or there. You can't just rig it, but you can rest guys, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
All right, we have another pair of tickets to give away right now to the Hofbräu VIP area at the La Mesa Oktoberfest on October 6th. It's free to attend La Mesa Oktoberfest, but the VIP tickets are a little extra. It's October 4th through the 6th with kids, dog activities, beer gardens, and the VIP tickets that are available for purchase. You can go to LaMesaOktoberfest.org for details or win them right now. We'll take the fourth caller, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Paulie will answer those phone calls during the break, and we'll give away another pair of Oktoberfest tickets. By the way, Steve said no speaking. He was actually between and Adam Sandler. They were talking to each other over him in the bathroom.
So good.
That would be intimidating.
Let me just get out of the way
here.
Oh, Jake Waters said Johnny Depp at Disney World backstage when he was working. I would be very intimidated if Johnny Depp walked in. Very intimidated.
Now, thank you for sharing all your restroom encounters.
I love it.
To the tier ones out there. You've had a restroom encounter with Jesse Agler.
I have.
He will join us next. Patrick Daly, our co-host for the day, will provide the incorporator word. Have you come up with it yet?
Oh, yeah.
It's good
to go. It's great.
All right, he's got it for the last regular season incorporator of 2024. Jesse joins us from Los Angeles, California, when we return on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. You know how I like to say it. Jesse Agler currently in the beast of the belly.
Yes.
Up in Los Angeles.
Not the belly of the beast.
Not the belly
beast
of the beast. No, the belly. We turn it around. The beast of the belly up in Los Angeles. He is standing by for the final incorporator of 2024. And what is, kind of a big series against the Dodgers the next 3 days? We will talk with the voice of the Padres right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Well, for the last 6 months, he has joined us religiously outside of the All-Star break every Tuesday morning. And now we come to the final Tuesday of the regular season when we are joined by the voice of the Padres, Jesse Agler, Padres-Dodgers tonight at 7:10 from Dodger Stadium. Jesse, good morning to you. How is smoggy L.A.?
You know what? All I did was walk out to get a cup of coffee. It was a little cool, a little foggy. I'm sure it'll warm up as the afternoon comes about us. And then tonight, all I know is it's going to be loud, it should be a lot of fun.
Does it feel like it passed quickly? I mean, let's see, March 20th was Korea, the first game against those Dodgers in Seoul. And now here we are, last six games of the regular season.
Yeah, I think it usually flies by for me, but there are obviously times when it feels like every day is a week. But yeah, like over the course of the long haul, You know, Korea at the same time feels like 10 years ago, but also like a month ago.
Yeah,
it's weird. You know, I mean, baseball season, it'll mess with your brain, as everybody knows. You know, when you're there day in and out, whether as a broadcaster or as a fan or a player, obviously, it allows you to lose sense of time, you know, with great regularity. So, you know, this is now the funnest of the times, of course, you know, late September and then obviously deep into October. And this is what makes, you know, the boring August all the worthwhile. And you stack up your wins and you put yourself in a position to play extraordinarily meaningful baseball down the stretch here.
Yeah, I mean, it's excruciatingly painful and anxiety, you know, racking and all that, too. But I'll tell you, man, this team has certainly earned a little bit of the benefit of the doubt this year, Jesse. We were talking earlier off the air about how much more fun this season has been. Obviously, last year, you can just leave that one behind. But even the year before when the Padres had a decent little run in the playoffs, it's just been... It's been way more consistent, way better baseball, a better brand of baseball, a more enjoyable viewing experience, and probably a much more enjoyable experience for you guys to call as well.
Yeah, I mean, I probably said this to you 100 times over the course of the season. This is very watchable baseball.
Yeah.
And it's watchable winning baseball. Look, there is watchable losing baseball, which I guess is okay. You know, there's not watchable winning baseball, which also I guess is okay. But this is like the perfect harmony of the two, because they win and they're enjoyable to watch. And as I know I've said before, like, there's not a lot of teams that fall into that category in today's day and age. And you know, it's neat because a bunch of times over the last couple of years, Tony and I have had a conversation on the air about how, you know, sort of in this hyper analytic age, which I think is swinging a little bit back towards the center the last 2 years, 3 years, maybe. But you had a run here where it seemed like every good team was trying to or doing it the same way. And so it became very homogenous. It became very boring almost, because every team kind of looked the same. And we would say, hey, you know, you think back, I don't know, like when we were kids, Tony and I, in the 80s and 90s, and like the Braves did it differently than the 84 Tigers did it, right? Like the 90s Braves did it differently. The 86 Mets were different than the 88 Dodgers.
Yeah.
You can go on and on and on, right? Like the Cardinals in the 80s were all about speed, and they took advantage of the AstroTurf and those guys, you know, running around the bases. Like there were different ways to win and different ways teams tried to win, you know, back then. And now it sort of became every team was trying to model some version of the Dodgers and the Astros and kind of the way they played. And I think we've gotten a little bit away from that the last couple of years. And the Padres are probably the best example of it. And the Diamondbacks maybe to an extent also, where they're kind of built a little bit old school. Where like, you might not have Ricky Henderson leading off necessarily, but like you look up and down the lineup and there's different kinds of guys hitting in different parts of the batting order. And that's fun because it's not just, you know, nine Kyle Schwarbers or whatever. And I love Kyle Schwarber.
I do too.
But like, there is something to like, okay, cool. Solano is coming up. My expectation is different than when Manny is coming up, which is different than my expectation when Merrill is coming up. And you can really do that all the way up and down the thing. And that is part of what makes this team so enjoyable to watch, is they've got that little like old school build to them. And it has obviously worked out very, very well for this team this year.
So what is Jesse Agler's take on reasonable expectations for this week? We all expect the Padres to clinch a playoff spot, but going for the division, but pretty much needing to either win out or, you know, go 5-1 and then get some help. I mean, it's not easy, obviously, but we'd all love to see it. I mean, where do you kind of stand there?
I mean, it would be great, obviously, and that is the goal of this team, one of the goals of this team. But look, I have always kind of taken the view, the end-all be-all is the World Series. And if that goes through the wild card, so be it. If that goes through the division, that's great. Winning the division would really be phenomenal. And look, the Giants 3 years ago won 107 games, I think, off the top of my head, and beat the Dodgers by a game. And thanks in part to a bad check swing appeal, they went out in five in the division series. And that was it. And it was over. So like, yeah, congrats to the Giants in 21. They won the division. The only time in the last, you know, 13 years that the Dodgers didn't. But, like, I would imagine they had a very bad taste in their mouth, you know, coming out of the postseason because of the way it ended. So, you know, for me, it's, like, a little bit bigger than that, or maybe a lot bigger than that. It would be great. Don't get me wrong. And we can have the conversation about the bye versus, you know, playing a volatile best of three and so on. But it would be a tremendous thing that happened. It would also mean the Padres are continuing to play their best baseball to the finish line here, which I think is a big positive heading into the postseason. But look, I mean, for me, it's about getting in and making your run. I think this team is set up to make a run. I think they are, you know, in about as good of a position as they can be in. And, yeah, you come in here and sweep this series. Okay, things get very interesting over the weekend in Phoenix, obviously. You know, the Rockies are not rolling over for anybody. They played very, very solid baseball the last month and a half. And they gave the Dodgers all kinds of fits the other day. That series would be at Coors Field, L.A. ending the season. We all know how crazy that is. Charlie Blackman going to play his last three games ever. He's probably going to hit 11 homers. Like, go get it, man. You know, I mean, we'll see. But I don't know. I guess I'm kind of dancing around a direct answer. But for me, it's about the World Series. This is a World Series contending team. That is what I care about. The path to that is, you know, kind of whatever it will be, I guess.
Talking to Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. Benny and I did a Reddit AMA yesterday. I know you've done that in the past as well. I thought it went pretty well, but somebody asked me the question in there, you know, what do you attribute the success this year to? And I thought long and hard about it, and obviously there's a million different reasons that goes into it. But I honestly think, Jesse, for me, you know, Mike Schilt deserves a ton of credit. A.J. Preller deserves a ton of credit this year. But for me, honestly, the vibe I picked up in spring training was one of embarrassment. And I don't think this year happens without last year and last year's, you know, the weight of expectations that went unrealized. And I feel like that was such a big catalyst for driving this team this year.
I think, I don't know if I like catalyst. I think for me, it was lessons learned.
Yeah.
You know,
fair.
I think that's kind of the way I look at it. Not that like it was a kick in the butt necessarily so much as it was, hey, they learned some things the hard way. And you know, this is why I say it's weird in baseball, right? Because every season is very obviously its own unique little package. You know, think about the extra innings last year versus this year. Runners in scoring position last year and this year. One-run games last year and this year. Clearly, totally different teams, right? But there is an interconnectivity year to year. And I do think, you know, for most contending teams, because bad teams, whatever, put them aside. But for most contending teams, you know, there are good and bad things that sort of have cause and effect year in and year out. This is a multi-chapter novel that we are reading right now. And it's probably something like Dostoevsky, you know, if we're really being honest about it. It is going to be long. It is going to be dramatic. There are going to be horrific things that happen and hopefully wonderful things that happen. And if you want to say that this particular novel, this sort of era of Padre baseball began, let's call it in 2020, 2019, whatever you want. And, you know, it's kind of going through this. You had the collapse of 21. You had sort of a weird 22 where the team then took off and had a nice postseason run that put a good taste in all of our mouths. Then you had a wildly disappointing 23. Now you're having this 24. Like, it's all part of the same book, but it is a big, dense book. And, you know, I think we're sort of living through all the twists and turns of this. And it's quite a ride. It really is.
Jesse, what are your thoughts on the closer situation right now? Obviously, Robert Suarez, 34 saves. Nice bounce back there on Sunday. But, you know, the questions did arise over the last few weeks of whether Tanner Scott, you know, might be getting more shots. And he did get the save there on Saturday, the five-out save. What do you think we're going to see going forward here, especially in the ninth inning?
Yeah, it'll be fascinating. And I don't have a straightforward answer. You know, I think there's a possibility they run Suarez out there. And if he gets the job done, then you run him out there again. I think there's a possibility they try and get a little more creative. Don't forget that when Tanner was closing it out in the ninth the other day, Suarez was warming. So it wasn't like, you know, they were, you know, just giving it to Tanner Scott and saying, go and get him. You know, Suarez was kind of at the ready there. But yeah, I think, I don't know, like you have options, and that's, I guess, the good thing. And Suarez has all year long been a phenomenal team player. Remember, he's open to five outs. He's open to, you know, whatever you need. And so if they say to him, hey, we're going to try and play a matchup here and do it a little bit differently, I'm sure he would be good with that. You know, Robert's been on board with everything they've asked, which is something you really appreciate. He's also continuing to figure some things out. And that's a good reminder, because I know we're closing in on game 150, whatever, but like, every guy is still tinkering and still working on stuff, you know, this late into the season and still trying to make the adjustments that will set them up for the most success going forward. So, you know, we'll see how they decide to play it. Part of it will be matchups. You know, the reality is, right, if like, you know, it's the ninth inning and Freeman and Muncy are coming up for the Dodgers, maybe Tanner Scott is the better matchup, you know, and you sort of look at it that way in terms of the lefties or whatever. So, you know, they can figure it out. They can play around with it. And then, you know, the other thing is, as you know, we've seen with other teams the last however many years, when you get into the postseason, it's kind of all bets are off. You know, I mean, roles, you know, get a little bit more blurred. The past doesn't really matter as much as the present and the future. And, you know, you could see them do all kinds of different things if you get a playoff situation. So I don't know. You know, I mean, it'll be a fascinating thing to track, certainly, as we go through this final week.
It's going to be so tonight, you win tonight and you clinch a playoff spot. You know, celebrating in L.A. is going to be an interesting one. Hopefully we get the chance to do that. Hopefully you get the chance to call that today. And that is correct. Our only path. Just got to win tonight and we're in. Doesn't really matter what the Braves do. Doesn't matter what the Mets do, or the Diamondbacks or any of that. We win tonight. We're in. Yes.
Yes, there is a scenario in which they can clinch in a loss. It's like a Diamondbacks and a Mets thing. Cassavell tweeted about it, I think, last night. But yes, if the Padres win, they are in tonight. So from that standpoint, it's straightforward. If they lose, there is a way they can back in today. But the Padres need to win literally one game the rest of the week in order to clinch a postseason berth. So yeah, no, I mean that would be great. You know, we'll have everything ready to go. Tony will go down to the clubhouse, do the interviews. 2 years ago, we had a blast with that. Tony did an incredible job of, you know, kind of making his way around the clubhouse and talking to different guys, and I'm up in the booth kind of playing point guard, and I was really very proud and very much enjoyed like our coverage during all those clinches back in 2022. So hopefully we got a bunch more of those this year.
Yeah, man. Like four or five more at least would be phenomenal.
And I trust AJ Cassavell. I didn't see that math, but he does say with an Atlanta loss and one Arizona win.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Padres would clinch.
Oh, boy. So. Sorry, Jesse.
It's all right.
He spent a lot of time on this.
You know,
it's unfortunately, you know, it's kind of like the one of the bad things about this new system. And I think it's fine overall. Like, I think it's kind of the right way to handle it. You know, with the way they do the tiebreakers and, you know, not having time for game 163, et cetera. I get it. But like, it does make it so that a magic number is not really straightforward anymore, which is too bad because the magic number was always this, pun intended,
very
magical
simple
thing that,
yeah,
like magic, we all, yeah, could do and be like, oh, three means three of our wins or three of their losses, whatever combination. And it was like, you know, you were scoreboard watching with total clarity. And that's kind of one of the curveballs that we've been thrown with this. By the way, idea, you guys feel free to discuss. Now that every team is playing every team, how about World Series home field advantage based on head-to-head?
Oh, like not decide until you know who the matchup is. That's interesting.
Ooh,
intriguing.
That is
idea.
Interesting.
That could, like, yeah, so see. We were talking about that in Baltimore over the summer because, like, hey, imagine if this was the World Series preview and this series could determine who has home field. Like, that'd be kind of cool.
Oh, that'd be really cool. I like that a lot. All right, we've got a guest host today, Patrick Daly, won at the Ben and Woods Open, chance to co-host. Now, we tasked him with coming up with it's the final incorporator of the season. We're not going to make you do it in the postseason. We will still talk to you, but Patrick has it for you. Paulie has the audio. If you would rather Paulie, Patrick, play it for Jesse first.
Tintinabulation.
Oh, my God. Tintinabulation. And Patrick, if you would read the definition for Jesse.
So, tintinabulation refers to a bell-like sound, like the tintinabulation of wind chimes blowing in the breeze, or church bells.
What a great word.
It's a great word. I've never even come across it before. Tintinabulation. I don't like...
Maybe mission bells.
I don't like the
sound.
That'd
be easier at home. Man.
Yeah, it'd be easier at home.
Tintinabulation of outs one game and two as Robert Suarez comes on for the save. But you're on the road. They don't play them.
If you're my neighbor and you have wind chimes, I'm potentially going to break it over your fence and rip them down. I hate the sound of wind chimes.
How come, by the way, you guys have a co-host, you don't let him, like, talk? He just reads a definition?
This is the second piece of criticism. We've got man. Adam Clue coming in here. We got Jesse Agler air-checking us. This has not been a great day.
I appreciate you, Jesse.
I'm just here. Yeah, Patrick, let's go, man. Do you have any questions? You want to know anything? Come on.
No, I'm just sitting here watching the pros, man. I'm out of my element here. I'm more of a, you know, in the dirt desert kind of guy. And
he's not the best co-host in the business for nothing, Jesse.
No, exactly.
Nope. I let the pros be the pros.
I can't wait for Chase Budinger to weigh in on how bad we are as hosts today. Let's make it a trifecta.
Who talks more, Patrick or Welsh Fryer? Who got more air?
You're the goat, my friend.
Jesse,
have fun.
Have a great series. We will see you next week, hopefully for the postseason.
Hey, enjoy the baseball games, guys.
Thanks, buddy. Well, buddy. We're not going to, so quit asking. 7-10. It's nothing enjoyable about these.
7-10 tonight here on 97.3 The Fan, Sammy's EcoWater SoCal pregame show, 6:10 p.m. tonight. Well, now the last hour just has to be the Patrick Daly hour after being called out by Jesse. We also have the Rindle Report in our next segment. And as you mentioned, former NBA star and now Olympic beach volleyball star Chase Budinger are going to be with us at 9:30. Stay tuned. Still more to come on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.